Thank you. It's good to be in church again today, and it's good to see our lovely faces. It's good to be here, and we thank God for what God is doing in our lives. Thank God for bringing a man, Chris, back from the getaway, and everyone here. I trust our week has been great. We in church, we've been looking at this series on being church. What does it mean to be a church? That's the general theme we have been looking at. And I want to, so today I'm going to be talking to us about a call, our call to be disciples of Christ. That's what we're going to be looking at in the next few minutes, that we've been called, part of what God wants us to do, to be, by coming to Christ, by being church, is also to learn Christ and to follow him. So there's this story of this guy, two friends. They were going to a public place, and at the door, you know, I don't know whether you've been like in those places in central London, and a guy just walks up to you and say, "Can I just get a fiver? Can I get something?" And it's everywhere you go. I'm sure streets of, if you go to several places, you see people begging for alms. So he asked them, he looked at them and was like, "Can you give me something?" And these guys, I'm sure there must be some money in their pockets. But they looked at him, and rather than putting their hands in their pocket and giving him something, because everybody, usually we do have money, but they looked at him and they said, "Rather than giving you money, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." After saying that to him, they took him by the hand and pulled him up. And the scripture said he had strength in his legs and he was walking. And there was a commotion like that in the streets. I'm reading from Acts chapter 3 from verse 1. Because it happened. It's just like happening in central London. And he had strength in his leg. And there was a commotion. It was an opportunity. Everybody was asking what happened. What happened? What has happened there? And the two guys looked and said, "We are just ordinary people. We are not special people. We've just spoken to this man in the name of Jesus and prayed for him." And they did that, which was just ordinary to them. They just felt like doing the ordinary thing their master told them to do. So because of the noise, because of the commotion, because of everything, they were arrested. That, how can you be causing such disturbance on the street? And I pray someday that we will cause some positive disturbance like that. I'm praying that one or two of us will cause a positive disturbance in which there will be someone, and I'd like, if one is arrested because of that, it would not be a bad idea. That you saw someone that was probably on crutches, you didn't push the person, you didn't do anything, you just put your hands on the person's hands and the person was healed. That would be a good thing to happen and a good commotion. And they were arrested and they told them, warned them, "Don't speak to anybody again in the name of Jesus. Don't do that. You shouldn't do it." But the scripture says they looked at the authorities and told them, "We can't but speak in this name." Acts chapter 3 verse 13. Acts chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, they looked at the authorities and said, we can't but speak in his name. And the authorities felt, wait. Are these not those illiterate guys, unlearned guys, this guy that didn't go to school? They were local business fishermen that we knew. We know them. We grew up with them. Are these not those guys that they're talking to us like that? The scripture said, they took knowledge of them and they saw that something had happened. That these guys had been with Jesus. That this guy, the only difference in what had happened in their lives is that they had spent time with Jesus. This transformation that is being seen in their life is because they have spent moment with Jesus. Today, what I want to share with us is the profound effect that being with Jesus would have on our individual lives and our lives as a collective if we submit to it. So the first scripture I've read is Acts chapter 3 from verse 1 to 14. I'm going to read another scripture, which is in the book of Mark chapter 3. It was the beginning of what Jesus did. Mark chapter 3, if you want to open to the place, you can. The book of Mark chapter 3. And I will read from verse 13. Before I read that, it is true that when Jesus came, he came to die for all of us, die for the sins of everybody, and he invites everybody is invited to come to salvation, everybody. And when he was around, he fed the 5,000. He fed the 5,000, he fed the 7,000. There were no discriminations. They didn't say if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile, if you're a man or you're a woman, adult, or young. No. Everybody were fair. What he brought from God was not for some selected few people. You don't need to qualify for it. It is available to all and everyone. However, in Mark chapter 3, from verse 23, the scripture says, despite the fact that he's done miracle and everybody has been beneficial of it, I'm going to read Mark chapter 3 from verse 23. The scripture says, verse 13, Mark chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Jesus went up to the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. The first thing was that he called them. He didn't force them. He didn't just co-opt them into it. No. He extended an invitation to say, even though everybody eat the from the loaves of bread and what I've done. The Bible says one day, everybody that were presented to him, he healed them. But scripture said on this date, he selected, he extended the invitation to a few people, and they yielded that invitation. I want to say today, what I'm presenting today is a call to a deeper walk with God. It's a call to a closer relationship with Jesus that is personal. Yes, we have a group experience. And one of the ways to know that your personal experience is still on course is to be using the compass of the group experience. Not that something is telling you, you're hearing a voice telling you, don't go anywhere, don't eat, don't wash, don't talk to anyone, just stand up in your room and face the sun. If you are hearing such a sound, something telling you that, when you come to the group of people, of believers, you say, excuse me, I'm hearing something like this. Is this God? They will say, no, God, the Holy Spirit doesn't give such kind of instructions. So we use our group experience to moderate the personal experience we have. Because the scripture says, even the devil can transmute himself to an angel of light and tell people things that are totally against reason and the wisdom of God. But that aside, I'm saying this is a call to a more personal relationship with Christ. We saw Jesus invited them and they came. But in our minds, Jesus called disciples to preach and to extend Christianity. Is that not right, Carly? Yes. When we read that scripture, it seems the reason why he called them was to go and preach. But if you look at the scripture again, the scripture said he first called them. That verse 14, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. The first call is not for us to go and do something. The first call into following Christ is to be with him, is to know him, is to experience him personally, is to grow, walk with him, have moments of personal encounters with him, have a relationship with him that is dated, that in our lives, the same way in our lives, we can say, I was born on this date, I went to college on this date, or this happened to me on this day. This is a real walk with Christ that could also be dated. The Lord said this to me on this day. I did this with the Lord on this day. The Lord asked me to do this on this day. Somebody will ask, so what's different from the general experience of everybody? What is different is that I'm not going to the source now. Was that there was a day when Jesus was about going. The scripture says he took three of his disciples. Three. And he said, let's go and pray. Let's go and pray. And as they were praying, Jesus changed in their eyes. They saw another Jesus from the one they've been seeing. His person changed. He became transformed. Not only that, they saw two other people. They saw Moses. And they saw Elijah. They saw two other people in the same place where they were. They saw two other presences there. And Jesus was communing with those people, was talking to them. What I wanted to use that experience to say is that even though everybody ate 5,000, ate loaves of bread and fishes, but it's not everybody that saw Moses and Elijah. And it is not everybody. So somebody will say, this Jesus that you people are talking about, are you sure that this guy is not just any of the prophets? To tell you the truth, the scripture says, scarcely will anybody die for a good man. Daniel, if they say a very good friend of yours is to be shot in Russia, will you most likely say, no, I'll take the bullet for him because he's my friend? The scripture says, scarcely will a man die for a good man. For the disciples to be ready to offer their lives, they saw something that many people didn't see. They saw that this is not just a prophet. They saw that this is not just a master that we're following. They saw him transformed in their eyes. They saw this is the Son of God. So when they were doing what the other people didn't do, it is because they had experiences that other people didn't have. The last example I'll give, when Jesus was resurrected, the scripture says, they said his body has been taken away. That was the first thing. So the disciples got there, looked inside. They didn't see anything, and they believed. What did they believe? They believed that his body has been taken away. The other disciple went inside too, looked. Peter looked inside and said, his body has been taken away. But Mary stood there and was crying. She wanted more than just his body has been taken away. She wanted more. And Jesus came back because of her. Jesus came. And when she saw him, she said, Master. She didn't say Master. She taught him to be a gardener. She was like, hello, do you know where they've taken the body of my Lord? And he looked at her and said, Mary. You know, there are different ways in which we call one another. The way Ken calls Katie when it's only him and I, it's different from the way I just say Katie. That there's difference between the two. Right? So the way he called her, she knew that this is the Lord. But he said, don't touch me. Because I'm after resurrection, I'm to go to heaven and do something with my Father. But because you were looking, you were persisting, you were pressing in to know more, I've come to make you know that they didn't take my body away. I have resurrected. So to show that we can press in more, we can experience Christ more, our experience can be deeper. We can learn more of Christ and also be more of Christ. And in concluding, I want to say today, the different aspects of Christ that we can learn is that we can learn to follow Christ is value. Jesus' value is different from the world system. He said, But the good thing about Britain, you know, one of the very great things about Britain is that Britain has a culture that some very great men and women made the normal experience, normal life in Britain, to be found, to be woven, to be patterned after Christ. So some things that are normal to a British person as a lifestyle is what some other people have to learn to do. Because the same way my daughter might be in my house and never heard me tell a lie, because it creates a culture of telling truth in my home. Another person can come into, but it is not every home that they don't tell lies. We can make a culture, but it does not mean everybody that is in my house at every time is a Christian. But they can live in a culture where truth is celebrated. The same way, we have this heritage, which is good, but we can press on even with that heritage. We can press on to now have a unique experience that is coming from the source of that life that has been made our lifestyle. I was saying some things to my students in class and saying this is a requirement in organizational life. And they were like, isn't that common sense? Yes, it is common sense to treat people well. It is common sense because you are in England. But it is not common sense all over the world. Some people need to learn to treat people well as a way of organizational life. So even though some things might look seem, isn't that the normal thing? Isn't that the way life is meant to be? But this is the way of Christ. And sometimes we know them, but the power to do them may not be there because that power is coming from Christ. We might have known that this is the way to live, but the power to do it is coming from a life of Christ, which is what I present here today. So Jesus' value, Jesus' character, Jesus' wisdom are things to learn in being his disciple. And the closest example will be apprenticeship. We know there's apprenticeship, something like that. Apprenticeship is a structured way of producing expertise in someone. We take a person and want to know how to make different kinds of cakes. The person does not know how to make anything, registers, and by 2 years, the person is an expert at cake making. Why? Because the person has gone through a process of interaction with knowledge, with experience. And it produces in the person. It produces a caterer. It produces a chef having gone through that process. The same way, our interaction with Christ, our praying, our engaging Christ in his word produce the life of Christ in us as we follow him. So we accept that he's someone to follow. Yes, my own time is telling me my time is done. Yeah, as someone to follow. So today I want to round this up by saying that Christ extends the call. We all have been invited to salvation. Yes, but we all have also been invited to a life of followership, knowing him, growing in him, such that, like the example of those guys, over a period of time, tangible transformation and changes as sin in our lives, and as being some of us, it's not a call for, it's not everybody that is a starter. No. We are different junctions on our journey in following Christ. And at whichever level you are, there's a call to a deeper walk with Him. I want you to know the values of Jesus are different from the values of the world. The standards of Jesus are different from the standards of the world. His viewing of things are different. And I'm sure we'll be learning more of that as we go on. Can we pray together? Do you want to talk to God in your heart? Do you want to respond to this message? Do you want to talk to Him? This is a call to a deeper experience. One of being church is that we are called to be disciples of Christ. Not just trying to be like Him, but He empowers us. He enables us. He shows us the way. Some people came to Him and said, "Master, we want to see where you stay." He said, come and see where I live. Come to my life. Do you want to pray and say, "Lord, as King's Church, may we represent more of your life, more of your love to the world, more of your power to the world." Amen.